Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Let's play Ask for Rain by Gene Moore.
In the wilderness, where the water is, with crying out, Lord, for you to hear. Fill our cups, Lord, until we overflow. We need you right now.
Boy, this is a move by Classic Cobb's Leonard. That was There Is God by Donnie McLaughlin.
So the song says, mountains are still being strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, but yes, we can see. Wonders of still what you do. I love this when y'all say, and bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
But I heard a voice deep down inside saying, in spite of the mess that you made, don't you know I suffered so you wouldn't have to. That's when I dropped to my knees and I prayed.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, yeah, you're on the air. Hello?
Is this the Pastor Ken Fleischman? The Pastor Ken Fleischman?
Yes, it is. This is Pastor Ken Fleischman. Yes, how you doing?
Ah, wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. How have you been?
I'm doing great. We had a great Easter. How was your Easter?
Oh, well, my Easter, this is why I'm calling. I had a situation this Easter, which I'd like to talk to you about, because I think you can help me out with this. Does that sound like a reasonable offer?
Yeah, sounds interesting.
All right, so as you know, I am no longer the Spiro T. Agnew. I am now Pastor Spiro T. Agnew. As such, I've been, you know, running my own church. You know how it is. You know how it is, being a legitimate religious figure. You understand, right?
Yes, I understand your Spiro.
Yes. So, this Easter, we held a nice little celebration, you know, worship, all that. And then afterwards, you know, for the kids, because they can be so wiry, we had a little Easter egg hunt, just good fun, good clean fun. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
So they would go around looking for these eggs, and, you know, there was a prize, but no, nothing major, just some good old-fashioned fun, good old American fun. But the only problem was this guy came in who nobody knew who he was. Like, he isn't a regular visitor, but he came in, and he was morbidly obese. He was more, and I'm not judging him for it. He just was. It's a fact. I think he had like a Texan accent or something. I don't know what was up with him. He was wearing this like rabbi outfit you would get at like a Party City. I mean, nothing legitimate at all. But you know, basically, he just went crazy. He was pushing down kids, trying to get their eggs, and he started, you know, trying to smuggle them out inside his, you know, passages. It was just awful. He made a terrible scene. Now, luckily, we've been talking to police, and we've gotten his name. We're just struggling to find him. It was something ridiculous, though. It was something like Ken Fleischman? I don't know. Do you know where we could find this guy?
No. I don't know where you can find him.
Okay. Well, thanks for the help, but can you do me one small favor, Ken? Can you do me one small favor?
What's that?
Could you please stop coming to my church and urinating in the sacramental wine? It was funny the first time, but now it's just old, okay? And it's costing us money. Could you please just stop?
Okay, well, whoever's doing that, stop urinating on Spiro T. Agnew's church.
Well, I mean, I specifically said you. I specifically said you were the one doing that.
No, I don't do that.
Well, we have 4K camera footage, so I'll take your word, though. I'll take your honest word.
Yeah, I don't do things like that. That's
ungodly. Yeah. All right. That sucks. I'm sorry, all. Bye.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into the message here, okay? And hope you all are ready for it. It's Jacob and Esau reconciled, and it's from Genesis chapter 32. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp," and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom, and he commanded him, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and herds and camels, into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape." Then Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of these mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and my mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau's brother, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 male camels with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, and drove it by itself, and said to his servants, pass over before me, and put some distance between successive droves. And he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau my brother meets you, and asks you, saying, to whom you do belong, and where you belong, and where you going, whose are these in front of you? And Esau say, they are your servant Jacob's, and it is a present to my lord Esau, and behold, he is behind us. So he commanded a second and a third, and all followed the drove, saying, in this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him, and also say, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the present went on before him, and he himself lodged that night in the camp. And he arose that night and took his two boys, his two female servants, and 11 sons, and crossed over to the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. And Jacob was left alone, and man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Now Jacob looked at his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front of, and Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children, and said, who are these with you? So he said, these, the children whom God has graciously given your servant. Then the maidservants came near, they and their children bowed down, and Leah also came near with her children and bowed down. Afterward, Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down. Then Esau said, what do you mean by all this company which I met? And he said, these are to find favor in the sight of my Lord. But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. And Jacob said, no, please. If you have not found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face, as though I had seen the face of God. And you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. So he urged him, and he took it. Then Esau said, let us take a journey, let us go, and I will go before you. But Jacob said to him, my Lord knows the children are weak, and the flocks and herds are nursing are with me. And if the men should drive them hard one day, all the flock will die. Please let my Lord go ahead before his servant, and I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock that go before me and the children are able to endure until I come to my Lord and see her. And Esau said, let me leave with you some people who are with me. But he said, what need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to the Succoth, built himself a house, and made booths for his livestock. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem in the land of Canaan when he came before Padan Aram. And he pitched his tent before the city, and he bought the parcel of land where he pitched his tent from the children of Hamor. Shechem's father, 100 pieces of money, okay, then erected an altar there and called it El Elohi Israel. Amen. Well, let's read from Psalm chapter 9, verse 7 and 9. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in the uprightness. The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, but by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. Amen. Well, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you can do so right now. All you have to do is simply say this simple prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to say, if you said this prayer, okay, and you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior tonight, we want to say amen to God, okay, bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored, and welcome to the family of God. Amen. No, that really wasn't a sermon. It was a reading from the Bible, okay, from Genesis chapter 32. All righty. Well, let's play some more music here. Amen. Let's play God and Loved. Good and Loved by Travis Green and Stephanie Gretzinger. Thank you.
Thank you.
Play Fix It by the Brown Boys, and it is Jenkins. By the Brown Boys and this Jenkins. Woo-hoo! That was some good music there. I know it. Amen. All righty. Well, let's take some callers here. 210, you're on air.
Hold on, I am in the mosque.
Ah, that's great. I'm glad you're in the mosque.
1 minute. I have to wait a long time because of your shitty music.
Oh, I thought you liked it.
No, it is the tune from the devil.
Oh, I thought it was great music. I thought it was really great.
Where is Pastor Aunt Jemima?
You mean Pastor Leroy? He's not here.
No, the other one. The woman.
Pastor Wanda. Pastor Wanda. Hey, he's not here.
Oh.
She's not here.
Why not? Is she in jail?
I don't know. They decided to take the night off, I guess.
Osama, I need your help.
What's that?
I know the Jews know how to do this, and our imams know how to do this. I am not sure if you know how to do this.
I'm not sure either. What is it?
Do pastors do circumcision?
No, no, no. Rabbi, which is called a moil, does circumcisions.
So does an imam, but our imam is not here.
Oh.
Will you do a circumcision?
No, I don't know how to do circumcisions.
How hard can it be?
Well, I don't know. I've never done it, so I couldn't tell you.
What is your knowledge of foreskin?
That is there?
I assume you have no foreskin.
No, I have no foreskin.
Does Tony have foreskin?
No.
I am trying to think of someone you can practice on before you cut the baby. Who can you practice on?
I don't have anybody I can practice on.
I am selling the foreskin to some Koreans. They need it for stem cells.
Oh, okay.
East. Piece of foreskin from one baby is $20,000.
Wow.
And I said you are known to cut penises.
No, so, I'm not known to cut penises. I'm going to take another call from 111. Okay, 111, you're on the air.
Hello.
Can
I
buy you a nail clipper?
I'd like to get two tickets to the coffee class.
There's no coffee class.
Fuck you.
No coffee class, sorry. Okay. 111, you're on the air.
Let it get past a wand. And I got dicks in my throat, and that's why I can't call it.
Okay. 111, you're on the air.
Oh, Kenny.
Hey, GGG, what's up?
What's up, baby? How you doing, Kenny?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm all right, man. Listen, I got to say, your music is spectacular. The thing I love most about it, it's not the selection, it's the audio quality. The audio quality on this show is second to none, Kenny. When you put the phone up to the speaker and the way it crackles and cuts in and out every 5 seconds, beautiful.
That's great. I'm glad you like it.
Very, very impressive. And I would just like to say to our friend that just called in, Kenny does not cut penises. He sucks penises. I think there's a distinction that needs to be made there. He sucks the penis. He doesn't cut the penis. Am I right, Kenny?
Yeah, right.
Amen, brother.
Let me say this. Kenny, you should be paying me for letting you fondle these babies' penises, let alone cutting them. I will buy you a nail clipper. You can practice.
Kenny's been around the children's before when he was running the Ugandan and Pakistani, what was it, Kenny?
Orphanage.
Oh, yeah, the orphanages. Yeah. He was around lots of children. So I don't think he ever did that to the penises or whatever. I don't know. I can't speak on that. Kenny, I don't know if you ever played with penis, little baby penis, but I don't think so. But the reason why I was calling was I wanted to know if you had heard anything from Grover, Washington, Kenny.
No, I haven't. I haven't heard anything from Grover at all. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, I don't know either, man. I'm worried, genuinely worried about him because the last I heard, he had left a note. And he was going down to the train tracks, and I don't really know what that means. Apparently, there's train tracks near the Haven for Hope, but I haven't.
Yeah, it's behind.
You know, I don't. Yeah. But I've been looking every day for, and I hate to say this on air, but I'm very worried about him. I've been looking in the obituaries in San Antonio for Grover, Washington. So far, I have not found anything, although there's a chance they might not put a homeless man's name in the paper. I don't know, online or whatever. So anyway, Kenny, that's why I called in. You can take some other calls. I'm sorry for taking up so much time.
All right.
Let me give you a word of advice. There is an old Egyptian saying, when a black man is missing, either he became a father or he went to jail.
Okay.
That's a little bit racist, but I do think there's some truth to it. Go ahead, Kenny.
Okay, 623, you're on the air.
God bless, Kenny. How are you? This is Mattress.
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Mattress?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to call in really quick and just say God bless to all of you. I wanted to give a shout-out to DC, too. I'm a big fan. And
thank you, brother.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We've never spoken before. I've always hoped we would, but never got the chance. But you keep doing you, DC2. You're great.
I appreciate you, man. I hope you call more often.
Thank you very much. You as well, man. You as well. Yeah, shout-out to you, Kenny. God bless. Farrar as well.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And that's all I got to say, my man. That's all I called in for. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day.
Oh,
you too,
brother.
God bless you, man.
Amen.
All right. Okay, let's go with, I guess it's 385. You're
hello,
on here.
Hello, is this the Pastor Ken Fleischman?
Yes, it is. It's Pastor Ken Fleischman.
I just want to ask one thing. Honesty is one of the most important values a man can have, correct? Especially a man of faith.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
So, Ben, could you just explain to me why you've been lying about what happened in Tel Aviv in 1986?
Oh, Lord. Kenny, should I tell him?
Goodbye.
Kenny, come on, man. Kenny.
Goodbye, this Bureau T. Agnew.
Kenny, why did you let me explain it to him, man? I was going to break it down, Kenny.
I was listening.
I do not know what this is about. But if it has to do with you killing Jews, I am very proud of you.
No, no, man. What happened was his family allegedly was killed by a terrorist attack in a bus bombing in Tel Aviv, allegedly. According to Kenny. I mean, that was a long time ago. The past is in the past, though. So we don't – Kenny don't like to talk about it.
Yep. It's over with and done with.
Amen.
Yeah, I have explained it many times before. Yep, I have. All right. Well, since we've got no more callers, we got callers, but nobody's pressing the one key. I don't know why they're not pressing the one key. Oh, we got one pressing one key. One, you're on the air.
Ken.
Hello? Yeah.
Ken. I got a prayer request.
Okay.
Bishop Cardinal Willie Kahn got into a fight with John Gobunny, and John Gobunny accused Pastor Willie Kahn of being a sex trafficker. Could you please pray that if Willie is engaged in sex trafficking, that he sees the error of his ways and repents?
Yes,
so
we will do
so. Can you pray that if he is doing that he doesn't get caught? Amen.
Yeah,
that
amen.
Too.
Yeah. We'll pray for Willie Kahn. Amen.
That's you're brushing me off. You're not going to do it.
I said we'll pray for him. Okay. Pray for him right now. Let's bring on 269. I think that's Pastor Veal. Pastor Veal, is that you?
Hey. Kenny, it's Pastor Veal. I gotta talk real quiet. I'm with family, but I heard somebody talk about Tel Aviv 87. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more, please?
No, I'm not gonna elaborate on that anymore. Thank you.
It was in 86, please. Not 87. And it was a terrorist attack on a bus. In 1986, it blew up, killed Kenny's entire family. It was really one of the worst fake accidents of all time, or fake bus bombings. A lot of deaths, and we all prayed for Kenny's family.
Ken,
amen.
I'm so sorry to hear. I'm so sorry to hear that your family died in that bus bombing. It makes me tear up every time I hear about it. You know, just like how it makes me tear up when you talk about how you help those little kids in Africa.
Oh, come on. He's been through this. He's explained this many times.
I am very proud of you, Kenny. Your family was the Palestinian who blew up the bus?
No.
I am confused.
Can you explain this? His family abandoned him. He got out of jail. He came home, and the house, his trailer was loaded with garbage. It was layered with cat shit, dirty clothes, cat shit, dirty clothes, just layered on top of each other like a layer cake. And he said his family was like they were dead. So then he came up with the story about Tel Aviv 86, and I'm not sure why he did that. But
but see, that wasn't even the real story, because see, after they fake died in Tel Aviv, Johnny, they then fake died in a car accident. Did you know that?
It's Mark. Ken was using a metaphor to explain how his family abandoned him.
That's two very
confused. How many Jews did you kill, Kenny?
Nine. None.
Kenny, that's a lot. That's a lot of killing, man. That's nine deaths, man.
Nine will send you to Jenna. You are a good Muslim.
Damn, I didn't know you killed nine people. Kenny, that's crazy, man.
Jenna means heaven.
Kenny, the past is in the past, man. I don't care if you killed nine and 900. You know what I mean? It's the past. It's all good, baby.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to say good night, everybody. God bless
Kenny,
you.
Kenny, why are you shutting the show down?
Because it's getting old. And I got something that I got to do. So
I have a serious question.
Can it be a Bible question?
Thank
you.
You are coming to the mosque to circumcise the boys, right?
No, I'm not coming to the mosque to circumcise any kids.
I need the money from the foreskin sale. You cannot abandon me.
Kenny, let Johnny ask
you
a godly question. Kenny.
I'm going to say God bless you.
Kenny,
good night, everybody.
Let Johnny ask a question. Kenny.
I know you know your way around a young penis.
Kenny, let Johnny ask his question, man.
Okay, Johnny, ask your question.
Talk about your Easter. How was it?
It was great. I had microwave ham.
Shut up.
microwave stuffing and homemade cake. It was great.
Did you have the microwave burritos?
No, the cake wasn't. Well, it might have been microwaved. I didn't see it go in the microwave.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you and Tony play hide the Easter egg in each other's assholes?
Oh Lord.
No, we didn't.
Kenny, don't shut it down. Kenny. Johnny, that was not called for, man. You know Kenny don't like talking about what him and the Mister, the Missus do in private. I don't know what I call him. Do I call him the Mrs. or the Mr. Kenny?
Who is the wife in that relationship?
Well, Kenny's the wife. I mean, so
no,
I guess
I'm not
it's the
wife.
Okay. Well, Kenny, it's very confusing, man. I don't know how to refer to who and who to refer to how. It's very confusing to me.
There is a man and there is a bitch. Is the man who is the bitch?
Well, that's an answer for Kenny. Kenny, you're going to have to answer. I mean, I don't know. Kenny, who's the man and who's the dog, the female dog? Puppy.
There's no female dog here.
I will give you a sports term. Who is the pitcher? Who is the catcher?
Well, I would be the pitcher.
Kenny is who is that guy that... Oh, Doc Ellis. He's the one that did he Doc Ellis. And then Farrar is Johnny Bench, right?
Yes.
Amen.
And it's more Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax was Jewish like Ken.
And he was also left-handed, and Ken is – I don't think Ken's left-handed, but I think he's kind of left
– Tony's left-handed.
Oh, well, then maybe
that's
Tony's Sandy Koufax then.
Yeah. Well, that would be a pitcher, though. And Farrar only tried to pitch one time, according to Ken, and Ken did not appreciate it. Right, Ken?
Right.
Kenny, you're telling me in all the years that you've been with him, you've only taken a penis one time and you didn't like it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If this is true... Mr. Tony is not sitting down right now, right?
No.
Face down, ass up.
That's how Kenny likes to make. That's how Kenny makes love, right, Kenny?
Yep.
Well, Kenny. So you had a good Easter. There was no anal bash. I heard rumors of one of those, but I don't think that's true.
No, we didn't have
correct.
One.
Yet.
I mean, after last year, man, that one was off the hook. You had like Evel Knievel and shit there. That was, I mean, jumping
we
over there.
We didn't have an anal bash last year either.
Oh. Okay.
You were supposed to have a thing where you got the trike out and you jumped over top of your off your townhouse, and you're going to have a fundraiser.
No,
you still got the trike, man.
Yeah, I still have it. It's covered up with a tarp. Yeah.
It's like a dead body, Kenny. I'm gonna sell it this summer. Oh, okay. It's like one of them non-Jewish people you killed. It's just covered up in tarp.
Yeah, it's covered up in tarp. Yeah. Okay. Well,
Kenny,
I'm saying good night, guys. God bless you.
Kenny,
have a wonderful night.
Why are you running, Kenny? Don't put the track shoes on, Kenny. Why are you putting the track shoes on, brother? We having a good show.
Well, because the show is getting old. Okay, it's getting old. Okay.
It's not even been on that long, man. You played music for like an hour, Kenny.
Nah, not really. Okay, maybe 40 minutes.
Kenny, don't run, man. It's okay. Everything is okay. We talking, man. Everybody's being nice to everybody. Is there any other callers, Kenny?
Let me see. There might be one here. 111. Let me see. 111. You're on here.
Ken, this is Veal again. Why are you trying to end the show early after this ungodly discussion about pitching and catching? I'm just disgusted. Why are you trying to end the show early, though? You have a chance
not
to redeem yourself in the eyes of the Lord and discuss the Bible instead of homosexual acts.
Okay.
Well, Kenny, you know, had a really powerful message earlier in between, you know, really crappy songs and audible music and whatnot. It was really wonderful, Kenny. You know, so I don't necessarily agree with Pastor Veal here. I think you've had some godly talk. But people have questions, you know, when you're in a gay lifestyle or gay relationship, people have questions, and Kenny has
Amen.
All the answers. So,
Amen, but we can use different euphemisms instead of pitching and catching, because we all know that has to do with semen, a.k.a. cum. As a pastor, I'm just deeply offended by this. And as the producer of God's Rainbow Ministries, the executive producer of God's Rainbow Ministries, I have to advise you to please use different euphemisms.
Would the word ejaculate be better, sir? Mr. Pastor Veal?
Yeah, I believe so.
Ejaculate? Okay.
Or just say the C word. I think that suffices perfectly fine to say when, you know, for example, when me and Tony F. are doing our, you know, R-dash, A bash, Easter egg hunt.
Oh.
I see word when he reaches into my rear end.
Oh,
to pull out an egg.
That sounds. I mean, can I ask a technical question on this one? How do you How do you not crack that egg? How does the egg not crack when it's in a compressed area? That seems very that'd be difficult.
That sounds like a Ken Fishman question, because I do not insert eggs into my rear end. But Ken Fishman, please do explain in a godly manner, of course.
I don't put an egg in my rear end either.
You told me you did in private messages, though. You told me.
No, I didn't. But anyway, 111, you're on the air.
Hello? I can't hear
this
person, Kenny.
Ken, this is dead air.
Yeah, I noticed that. Why we have dead air? And why we have nobody talking? I'm 111.
Okay,
well, goodbye, 111. 111, you're on here.
Holy crap.
That's
Grover.
Is that you?
Grover. Is that Grover?
Is that you, little Grover?
Grover.
Grover's finally come over.
Grover? I don't think he can talk. I think he has the cover. Grover?
Are you alive?
Grover, speak to us. Grover? Oh, no, Lord. Grover?
He's been missing recently.
Sounds like he has the covert again, man. That's going to be like 50 times.
Nobody else can cough like that.
Ken, this is a very serious question. I know that you have Grover over every so often. He's been missing from Haven Full Hope for ages. Based on this coughing, have you have him locked in your basement, and have you been feeding him cigarillos?
No, I don't have a basement for him. And I don't feed anybody cigarillos. And, no, I haven't had him over. Okay?
You don't feed Victor cigarillos, do you?
No, I don't feed Victor cigarillos either. 111, you're on the air.
Listen here, Mary Lou, you are messing around on the air, playing terrible music here. You have a coffee class to run, and you're feeding cigarillos to the homeless here. To why do you do these things?
I don't feed cigarillos to the homeless, and goodbye to you, sir.
Kenny.
Hey, Ken, that's my main financial beneficiary.
I'm saying goodbye to everybody tonight. God bless you. And maybe tomorrow I have a show.
Shut it down, Pastor. Shut it down.
Do not